Do you have a dog in your life? Are they a pet? Maybe they're even an employee? Or do you think of them as a member of your family? Australians are keen animal lovers. 73% of households have some sort of pet. Almost half of us have a dog in the home. And since the pandemic, we've really embraced pet ownership. The shift towards working from home meant a lot of us got really used to spending a lot of time with our pets, and they got used to being with us all the time. Now lots of us are looking for more ways to do that outside the house, like taking dogs to the pub or to work. And if you're a dog person, you might be all for that, but not everyone's on board. And in councils across the country, there are ongoing tussles about where you should be allowed to bring a pet along with you and where you shouldn't. With me is Stuart Martin, behind a campaign to change Queensland's food standards legislation to allow dogs inside the suburban brewery he runs in Brisbane. Stuart, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you love your dog so much that you named your brewery after him. What's the name of the brewery? The dog, please.
Archer and Archer Brewing. So he is the namesake of the brewery.
But you had to kick him out of the pub after a complaint. What happened there?
One individual came down and I don't think they were surprised to see dogs in the venue and put a complaint into council. And we were stopped allowing dogs in the venue. Obviously, we still support animals and any assistance dogs that they still come down. But outside of that, yeah, we don't allow dogs because of that.
So you disagree with this and you're trying to change it. Talk me through your reasoning.
Absolutely, I disagree with it. Dogs are part of the family nowadays. We've all just lived through COVID. Dog percentages, ownership percentages went up hugely, about 50%, I think, during COVID. They're no longer just an animal that you leave in the backyard and occasionally pat and chuck some food out the back for them. They're now part of the family. My kids are madly in love with Archer. He used to come everywhere with me. They're just part of every day-to-day life now, as far as I'm concerned, and they should be treated so.
So you were able to bring him everywhere with you to work. Now you can't anymore. How has Archer gone with that?
He's a bit grumpy. When I leave the house in the morning, he looks at me and is like, "Hey, Dad, am I coming?" And you just like, "Sorry, mate, you gotta stay here." And yeah, off I go. So yeah, it's a bit. He gets a bit grumpy about it.
Well, also here with me is Giuseppe Carabetta, Associate Professor of Workplace Business Law at the University of Technology, Sydney. Giuseppe, I need to know your conflicts of interest up top, please. Do you have a dog or not?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit like Stuart. I have a particular special dog, Monty, who's an assistance dog, and he sort of started his life at 10 weeks with my late mum in aged care. So it's kind of a tribute to her, but also because without, you know, too much information here, Tegan, but I suffer from grief issues, so.
Wow, Giuseppe, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. Thank you for sharing that. Monty sounds really, really special. Well, so this is really, your work is really close to your heart. You've been looking at the lay of the land on dog-friendly workplaces. What are the laws in Australia?
Well, it's a bit like, as with, you know, a retailer or a restaurant or pub like Stuart, there's a discretion. So the general rule is no for a pet. So it is up to the proprietor, but also we have an obsession, healthy or otherwise, with food safety compliance in Australia. And so there are particular rules that we can get into, if you like a 10-metre rule in New South Wales. And, you know, if you don't have an outdoor area, you're going to have problems. But from there on, the owner of the establishment, it's up to them, and they can say yes or they can exclude pets. But with an assistance dog like Monty, he's exempt from all those restrictions. So I've taken him everywhere from Allianz Stadium to watch the Waratahs, right through to the Senate recently in Canberra. So And he does, to address your question, he now comes to work, but with, you know, with some parameters.
Right. So assistance dogs, that's a special category. I think most people understand that. What are the sort of changing, well, are they changing the attitudes towards pet dogs in public places?
Yeah, I've had that question all week, Tegan and Stuart. Again, too much information, but I grew up in Italy where there's just a very different, it's a cultural issue really, and there's a history behind this. And part of it is that, you know, we're suburban, whereas, you know, in Italy, a place like Bologna, it's really dense. Mm. So the dogs are just there, right? So there's a really different attitude, and that's reflected in the laws. We have a review, as I understand, we have at the moment, and Stuart may be all over this, in New South Wales at least, there is a pending review, as I understand it, of our Act. But our Act at the moment, our Companions Act, so I'm leaving aside now assistance dogs like Monty, it is pretty, you know, prohibitive. So everything from child play areas, which seems fair enough, to, you know, councils can signpost beaches, sports facilities, even shopping arcades, through to schools, childcare areas, which again, you know, that seems fairly reasonable. But the big one is the food preparation one. And to address your question again, I think we're starting to see a bit of a shift, and I live in an area which is dog positive and dog friendly, but, you know, still really in a transitional phase. And Stuart, I think, would subscribe to that.
Stuart, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, like we recently, or about a year ago, drafted a template for an email that people who were supporting our petition, they could go on and they could send it to the health minister. We got a reply from the health minister at the time, who it very much felt like was just blowing us off and just going. The response was something along the lines of, "Hey, thanks for your email, but we're not going to put in to position a trial period for this law change. If you wish to change the law, you can apply for it yourself." Now, as a small business, we don't have a huge amount of money to throw at trying to change laws, and that's completely ridiculous for me to even dream about that. The health minister in his email suggested trying to apply for changing the law similar to Virgin Australia. Now, Virgin Australia, as we most of us know, are a multinational company and have a farcically large amount of backing behind them, so they can afford to go and challenge that and allow dogs onto planes. For me, it seems like the most contradictory thing. You allow dogs onto planes in a small metal tube in a confined space where there is food prepared, but you won't allow dogs into my, you know, 550 square meter brewery with high ceilings and ventilation and all the rest of it. So it seems very contradictory to me.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Stuart Martin, who's the owner of Archer Brewing, a pub that started a community campaign to change the law to allow dogs in pubs, and Giuseppe Carabetta, Associate Professor of Workplace Business Law at UTS, looking into dog-friendly workplaces. Lots of texts on this. One person says, absolutely, allow dogs in public spaces. However, dogs have to be kept close to their owners. We have a beautiful dog who is well behaved until another dog comes up and bothers him for no reason, except poor dog ownership behaviours. Dogs are like kids. Keep them close and seek consent from adults before assuming they are okay to play with yours. Tom says, I love dogs, but people who have to take them to restaurants need to get a grip. Tom says, they're dogs, not people. It's basic hygiene. Stuart in Townsville says, I go to a cafe regularly on a Saturday that is designed for dogs as much as humans. Water bowls everywhere and dog food items on the menu. David says, my dog is a story dog. We go to a school and sit with a child while they read to us. Really broad spectrum there, Giuseppe. How does that fit with what you're hearing in your research?
Yeah, well, I really like, well, I think the second last texter was Stuart, was it, who mentioned it really comes down to an issue of design. And our guest, our pub owner, Stuart from Scotland, he's saying that, you know, he has things like ventilation in place. He has a big space and that kind of thing. So it's really, can you manage? And you had another texter who mentioned behavioural issues. So I see it as, and the research supports this, at least in the workplace, if you're going to have dogs in a workplace context, then it's going to work. So, excuse the pun, it's going to be effective in terms of social interaction and stress and that kind of thing. And, you know, you're accommodating people with allergies and you're accommodating people with phobias. Not easy to do, easy for me to talk about from my ivory tower as an academic, but, you know, if you can do it and you can do it on a reasonable sort of basis, then, you know, make a risk management case. So have signage up, keep your discretion, but have signage, train your staff in how to deal with hygiene procedures and that kind of thing and behavioural issues. Really make it conspicuous, so really alert the patrons to what's going on. You can have zones, you can have dog-free seating. So I've expanded it beyond the workplace, but coming back to my situation, we had a complaint. So again, I empathise with Stuart. We had a complaint despite the fact that he's an assistance dog, you know, and he had his vest on and everything, and he's amazing, and everyone loves him. That's a bit of an issue because he's too social. But the complaint came through, and then I met with HR, and very reasonably, we set up some parameters. So they consulted me, leaving aside the fact that I'm a workplace specialist. But it was a really constructive conversation, and it said things like, only I can handle him. He's not allowed near, you know, didn't set up a 10-meter rule or anything, but he's not allowed near a kitchenette. Fair enough again. No one else is allowed to handle him. He's got to have his vest on and, you know, some parameters around, you know, obviously I can't take him to a lecture theatre because he's too engaging and that kind of thing.
Stuart, what kind of balance do you think there needs to be between legal requirements and discretion on the part of you as a business owner or a dog owner who's seeing their dog as fit to bring out in public?
Really, that's all we're asking for, is the ability to choose. Now, discretion from a business owner. Now, if my business goes bankrupt because I allow dogs and people don't like dogs to come to the pub, that's on me and that's on my shoulders and I've got to explain that. But the discretion of the individual who owns the dog, the discretion of the staff, how many dogs, for example, how many dogs, you know, if 50 people turned up and they all had a dog, we're going to have an issue because if you put that many dogs in a close confined space, you're going to have some issues. So my staff, most of them are dog owners. They are definitely all dog lovers and they work tirelessly. If there are dogs in the venue, assistance dogs, support dogs, then they ensure that the people sat around them are comfortable and have no issues. If any issues are raised, then they will help move the individual to another area. For example, we don't allow dogs upstairs on the mezzanine, so there is a dog-free area. Unfortunately, with the position of our building and our licensing and various things, we can't put an outdoor space. That's really unfortunate. I would love to have outdoor space because we all live in Queensland and that's a beautiful part of the world where we love being outside. But that's what we're asking for, is the permission as a business owner to choose how I run my business. You know, small business is struggling hard right now. And to be able to take away, like I regularly see locals that used to come in all the time with a dog, stop for a pint, 2 pints. If their partner was away, they might have 3 pints and stay for some lunch or dinner and things like that. That's not to look at people in a monetary term, but as someone walks past the door that used to visit on a daily basis, that's money walking past the door. That's $15. That's $30, if it's 2 pints or whatever it is going past the door. And we all struggle. We all need every little bit of help we can get. And for me, we built this place with Archer in mind. And, you know, there's doors on the kitchens, there's doors on the bar, there's a fence around the brewery. It's not like dogs can just wander willy-nilly. And as dog owners, exactly as one of your texters said, it's about responsible ownership. If your dog is uncomfortable, has anxiety, whatever, you remove them from the situation. Same as my kids. If my kids are losing it in the pub, my kids come to the pub all the time. And some people believe that kids shouldn't be allowed in pubs. Like if you're from the UK, a lot the licensing laws in the UK about having children in pubs is very different to here in Australia. But if my kids are in the pub and they kick off for whatever reason, because I take a screen away from them or whatever it is, I remove them from the pub because that's responsible pairing. If they're stressed and people around them are stressed, it's never going to end well.
Responsible pet parenting too. Stuart, Giuseppe, thank you both so much for joining me today. Stuart Martin owns a brewery in Brisbane. He's just started a community campaign to allow his dog Archer back into the pub, named in his honour. And Giuseppe Carabetta is an Associate Professor of Workplace Business Law at the University of Technology, Sydney.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.